Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Upper Frederick Township Board of Supervisors' regular monthly meeting, September 14th, 2023. Let's please stand and pledge to the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Public comment period. Any public comments? Okay, no public comments. Minutes. Approval of the August 10th, 2023 meeting minutes. I didn't have any comments on these. I think these are fine. This is you and I on this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
No comment.
No comments? Okay. All right, then I will make a motion to approve the minutes. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Treasurer report, bills to be paid.
So you have before you the monthly treasurer's report for the month of August. Revenue collections are ahead of budget so far for the year. They're at 79.8%, and expenditures are trending under budget at approximately 59.41%. I will note that because we've had the big construction projects, that the gap will close a bit now that we're getting some bigger bills in for asphalt and that sort of thing.
Okay.
And then our recommendation is in October, we will be prepared to talk to the board about opportunities for reinvesting in CDs for some of our funds.
Okay. All right. Everybody good?
Thank you.
All right, then I'll make a motion to accept the treasurer's report as presented and file for audit. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Bills to be paid.
All right, so before you, you have a list of the bills to be paid for the month of August. As I just mentioned, we do have some bigger bills in there for asphalt and Saxon Sons for the road projects. The total for bills for August is $235,683.34. I will also note that we also have in there, we did have to do an emergency repair at Ivy Ridge sewer plant a couple weeks ago, and that cost us about $40,000. No violations occurred, but that was another big expense.
Okay. Any questions, comments?
No,
I have none.
All right, then I will make a motion to approve payment of the bills totaling $235,683.34 and to advance to the treasurer the funds to pay any needed bills or expenditures, to save penalties or accrue interest and payroll prior to the Board of Supervisors regular meeting on October 12, 2023. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Emergency services.
All right. Doesn't look like we have anyone out there from Plymouth Ambulance. So they had 24 calls in the month of August, 10 of which were to Frederick Living. And the Upper Frederick Fire Company had 14 calls.
Okay.
Do you see that? Okay. All right. We're not seeing our sewer operator, water sewer operator. So I'll go ahead and just give his quick report, okay. Quick summary. So as I mentioned, at Ivy Ridge, we did have an emergency with regard to the electricity and communication lines, so we had to do an emergency repair there. We still need to repave the portion of the driveway that that had to be dug up to replace those lines. We did have the contractor enclose the lines in concrete to avoid this happening in the future. With regard to the water plant, we also had quite a few large expenditures. Most recently, well number two. The pump in well number two was starting to fail, so we had to repair that. And as part of that repair process, They had to do a bunch of repairs to the pipe that goes down in the well. It was pretty flawed. So that's working really well now. And then we also had to replace one of the booster pumps. I think for those of you living in Perk Crossing, you've probably noticed a nice improvement in your water pressure now that that's online. We still need to replace the second booster pump, so I've asked the fire company to hold off making withdrawals from the fire hydrants until we get that second booster pump replaced.
Okay. All right. Public Works?
Yes. Seasonal mowing, as usual, with the township building, parks, cemetery, and sewer plants. We help with the EV charger, with the trench, the conduit, and whatever else the electrician would need to get that all up and running. Our township guardrails, guide rails, I like to call them, reflectivity for the wintertime months. I was out with the American Leak Detection out of Ephrata, and they are in sweep the area of Hunter because of the low pressure issues that were occurring up there before or prior to the booster pumps. So I took him around various areas. I was hoping that he had a better report for you all, but he didn't submit it in. But we met out there and we went over different areas and we found no leaks in the areas, which is great.
Okay.
As well as I met with the Montgomery County Conservation District for a possible low volume road grant for Creek Lane, which that will come at a later date. We're still going all through the whole logistics on that. The electric at Ivy Ridge we helped out with there to get that things moving on as well with that. Just going down the list here with the road edges, maintenance, just typical, you know, maintenance through our roads there. The base repair on Swan Creek, so I'll skip down. And with the equipment, the loader, we had to do a 500-hour service, which Croft Tractor came in. They're also Plaster, also known as that. The 410 backhoe was just minor electrical. We did that in-house. The 750, we did that in-house as well. That was exhaust clamps. And road mowing was put off on a hold for about 2 weeks because it went down for hydros and the PTO, but it was all warranty work. So now we're up, back and running, and taking care of road mowing. Questions? As for the Faust Road, I'm sure it's in the engineer's report. That's going really well out there, and we're actually hoping to get that done tomorrow.
Okay. Good job. If you get a chance, look at Southford Station. It's really starting to come apart in the center and moving into the drive lane.
Yeah, that's right there where
all the esters. Yeah. And it's just moving out.
That's on our list to actually solve, cut that out, and take that down through.
Yeah, Steve, just tell the guys and yourself, you know, great work out there driving around in the township. It looks,
will do.
It looks good.
Thank you.
I think you do a lot of you and the guys do a great work, a great job doing preventative maintenance. So
thank you.
I think it looks great.
Appreciate that.
It's good. Okay.
I do have one question. There was a generator for Ivy Ridge, a backup generator in case something happened. That was removed.
Yes,
That was removed.
That was removed. That was part of the DSIs who came in and did all that work for us.
Right.
They hooked up the backup generator there.
It's good to go.
Yeah. We're back online with our old generator.
Yeah, and it sounds like they're going to include the use of that as part of that $40,000 overall charge. We were concerned that that would be on top of it, but it sounds like they're going to include that in.
Good.
Civil Engineers Report.
Okay, LTL's updated the Engineers Report for the month of September. You should have a copy of that in your packet. And several items here are other agenda items on your agenda for tonight's meeting, but the one that is not, Steve had alluded to earlier, Faust and Sweetsford Road. Sweetsford Road is done. I think it turned out real well, especially with the township's effort on the roadside work. So not wishing a good rain on us, but we'll see how it performs after we get a good rain and see if it improves. As far as Faust Road goes, the swale is essentially done. They're putting low flow channels in, but I thought it turned out really nicely. I think it'll definitely fix the roadside erosion that's washing into your creek. That's a good thing. And then the plan, they did the base repairs today. The road will be closed tomorrow from about 8:30 to 3 or 3:30, something like that. We need to keep it open for the buses. Steve was great. He called the school district, and they only had one bus coming about midday, and it only involved one child. So they switched things around so we could shut the road down because we want to do the paving, the scratch, and then the overland single pass. It'll do a much nicer road, nicer job for the township. So fingers crossed, we're going to break down. We don't have any issues with asphalt delivery or anything like that. Tomorrow, by the end of the day, we should have Faust Road should be done and open and good to go.
Okay.
So we'll let you know, and I'm sure when it comes to asphalt bills, if you want to send that over to us, we'll take a look at that and make sure that it matches up. Because we have had instances where the township has gotten billed for, you know, from other contractors, you know, by accident. But that's the reason we keep all the slips and check all that stuff. So we can certainly do that. Okay. Any questions? I can answer them. Otherwise, that's really about it.
Okay.
Thank you, Norm.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you. Okay. Building inspector and zoning report.
So the inspector had 14 inspections and 5 permits in the month of August. I think, Ken, you're going to give us an update on Spillane.
We had the summary trial today. Mr. Spillane was found guilty. The fine was reduced because in the ordinance for which we cited him, it had been amended, and it says for a first violation, the fine can only be $100. So that's what the judge imposed.
Okay.
Hopefully, there won't be any further.
Right.
And I'm told the property is still compliant. That was from John Cook, Township Code Enforcement Officer.
Great. Great. And then the other property at Perkiomenville and Deep Creek. There's been no indications of anyone being on the property. I think John has had some email communications with the property owner, and she's indicated that she's out west at this point for an undetermined amount of time.
Okay.
All right. No planning commission meeting this past month. No regional planning commission that I'm aware of. And the Parks and Recreation Board. Do we have anyone? Oh, yeah. Desiree's here.
Yeah. Right. So we have two big events this month. We have one on Saturday, September 16th. We are sponsoring a joint pull through or drive-in movie with Lower Frederick and Upper Salford Townships. Gates are opening at 6:30. It's at the lower lot, Springmount and Flemers Mill Roads. So that, like I said, gates are opening at 6:30, and then that'll start at dusk, and the movie is Luca. And then on Saturday, September 30th, between the hours of 10 and 3, we are having our annual community day. We are still looking for artisans, crafters, farmers. So we're still looking for like farmers and local vendors. We're having a chili cook-off, so we're looking for entrants. That's between 11 and 2. And there's a free shredding truck. And that will be here between the hours of 9 and 12 across the street at St. Luke's parking lot. And there's also supposed to be a first responders cornhole tournament. And I guess we're still looking for a first responders.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah, we're not sure if that's going to come through.
We're looking for first responders.
Yeah. So, and for anyone who's interested, we have some yard signs. If anyone would like to put one out for community day, you're welcome to take one tonight.
Okay. Thank you. Manager's update.
For the manager's update, really, we kind of touched on some of the big items. The EV charger is working. We need to kind of figure out rates and that sort of thing, and we're still kind of just playing with it. But I did test it out, and I got 3 kilowatts of charge out of it, so it works. But we haven't figured out all the details about getting charges in place. So we'll come up with some suggestions and come back to you with that. Okay. For charges. And then the website's been a little delayed. The guy who's been helping us got sidetracked, and I'm trying to get him back to finish some items on that so I can get that to the board to start reviewing. And that's it.
Okay. All right. Old business. conditional use 2023-01 decision. This is proposal conditional use application to allow a private custom automobile restoration and preservation facility, Three Dog Garage, location 3029/3045 Big Road. It's Big Road LLC. Here of Matt McCall. Okay. Ken, do you want to provide guidance on
sure.
this?
On August 10th, a conditional use that had been properly advertised was held and conducted. There was a stenographer. The applicant appeared, called through and presented evidence from testimony from three individuals, a number of written and documentary evidence and so forth. Members of the public attended, asked a lot of questions. The board had questions. Essentially, the proceeding was concluded. The record was closed. And instead of making a decision that night, it was voted upon to push the decision until this meeting. So this is now the date and time to deliberate and decide this matter. Conditional uses are essentially uses that are permitted, but they're of such a variety that the code authorizes the township to hold a hearing and make a determination whether the use should be allowed to move forward, and if so, should it be subject to any conditions. There were a number of conditions that were presented from other township agencies, the Planning Commission, I think they came from the county also, and they have been reduced to a written list that I have circulated among you folks. There was one recent suggested amendment by Ed, who is your
planning
planner. And I'll read the whole list of conditions if you like, but the third one that was mildly or slightly amended was just had a short addition. So it read, provide a 10-foot easement for possible future trail connection along frontage of property with alignment flexibility to avoid vegetation. And then this would be the addition. And build features and with allowable grading beyond the easement is necessary for drainage and public safety. So as amended, that would be the list of conditions. So as sometimes happens with three-member boards, you will recall that at the last hearing, there were only two supervisors present. At the conclusion of the proceedings, it was mentioned to me that by the chairman of the board that he should perhaps abstain from voting. We discussed that a little bit, and I think we'll double back to that in just a moment. So since that leaves only one supervisor who was present, an available procedure would be for the supervisor who was not present, Mr. DeFrancesco, could read the transcript, which he has done, correct? And he could then participate in the voting. So you may have a chairman abstain if that's his wish, and then you'll have two members who would be able to vote and make a decision on the matter. This is not an unusual procedure, it happens, but as a courtesy, I did consult with the applicant's counsel, and he had no objection to proceeding in that fashion. I also shared with him a list of conditions, because they were essentially the same list that had been discussed the night of the hearing, and I am happy to report that the applicant has no objection to any of the conditions, even the one as amended that I just read.
Perfect.
So, Mr. Chairman, do you, before in the years ago when I first started practicing, one could just abstain, sometimes abstain for a very limited reason, right. But an abstention is supposed to be some explanation is to
right.
be given. So,
right. So I'm abstaining because I am involved in an organization the applicant donated to. So that's why I'm abstaining.
Okay. And did you derive any personal benefit from that donation, or
personal like money in my bank account? Personal?
Yes.
No.
Okay. So I don't know that you need to, but I guess out of an abundance of caution, if you're more comfortable abstaining, then that should be noted.
My personal bank account, right?
Correct.
Is what I mean.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right. And so we've already covered that. Mr. DeFrancesco read the transcript. So without any further ado, now would be your opportunity to deliberate the matter. Mr. Trajanski was here and heard the testimony. Mr. DeFrancesco read the testimony. I'm not going to summarize it again. I think I essentially already said what needs to be said. Three witnesses. The project was described. Again, a number of issues were raised and addressed, and the conditions will cover some of those things. The only other thing I would say is that you are to be guided by the following principles under section, from the zoning ordinance, section 285-35 says you should consider the following. Consider the suitability of the property for the use desired. Assure the board that the proposed change is consistent with the spirit, purpose, and intent of this chapter. B, determine that the proposed change will not substantially injure or detract from the use of neighboring property or from the character of the neighborhood, and that the use of the adjacent property is adequately safeguarded. C is determined that the proposed change will serve the best interest of the township, the convenience of the community, and the public welfare. D, determine that the proposed change, or in this case, proposed use, will serve the best interest of the township, the convenience of services and facilities, such as water, sewer, police, fire protection, and schools. Not all of these are as applicable as other criteria. E reads, consider the suitability of the proposed location of use with respect to probable effects upon traffic and assure adequate access arrangements in order to protect roads from undue congestion and hazard. And F is be guided in its study, review, and recommendation by sound standards of subdivision practice where applicable. So those are the things you would consider in deciding. As an aside, the standard is not as high as, say, the Zoning Hearing Board for a variance. They don't need to prove an undue hardship. Although the proceedings are similar, that is a very important distinction. So you're welcome to discuss at length. You've had a month to think on it. If you're ready to make a motion, you can do that. Whatever your pleasure.
And I can still participate
in discussion?
But I can't.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So you want to hand this over to me?
Sure.
Okay. I want to start with, is there any public comment on this at this point? Okay. I'm seeing. I've gone through the transcripts. I've read every piece and talked to the attorney. I'm ready to make a motion.
I do have one question for the residents that live across from Perk Yeoman, on Perk Yeomanville Road. Last month you were here. Do you have any questions regarding the water runoff? Because I think it was demonstrated, to me at least, and I don't know if it was to Sean and everybody else here, that the water runoff, I think, from what I'm told, should be well contained, that you shouldn't receive any further water flow onto your property. Are you comfortable with that, sir?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
I'll just add, if I may, one related thing is that the next item on the agenda is their preliminary final plan. So the conditional use is more or less for the use itself. The actual, this project still has to go through land development.
Sure.
And stormwater will be, it's part of the condition list here, and it will, of course, be all the rules and requirements for stormwater management will have to be adhered to by the applicant if the plan receives approval and moves forward.
Okay.
Anything else?
That's all I have.
Okay. All right, then I make a motion to approve the preliminary final land development plan for...
No, conditional use.
Conditional use, wait a minute.
In the wrong place. It's the one right above, number one.
Are you missing the page?
Yes.
Here you go. It just has the conditions that have been presented by Ken there at the top for the conditional use.
But this doesn't show the motion.
Right, it doesn't, so, right, because Ken was sort of facilitating okay. that. those were the conditions.
So we're just going to approve a motion?
Subject to those conditions at the top.
Okay. Okay, we'll try this again. Motion to approve conditional use for the, where was it? Lost. For the three dog garage located 3029 and 3045 Big Road. Do I have a second?
Second.
Is the motion to approve the conditional use application subject to those conditions?
Subject to these conditions.
Can we make it clear then?
All right.
On what it is.
Make a motion to approve the conditional use of the three dog garage at 3029 and 3034 Big Road.
Subject to.
Subject to the conditions that have been approved. Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. I've got a written decision out. Reasonable.
I have that correctly documented.
Yeah, it should have been. You can have that back. I was looking for the motion. Okay.
All right. So now, correct me if I'm wrong, we're down to two. We're down to two. Okay, preliminary.
Can you grab me my glasses?
Oh.
I apologize.
Why'd you throw your glasses?
What's that?
Why'd you throw your glasses?
Okay. Preliminary final land development application for Three Dog Garage to allow private custom automobile restoration and preservation facility.
So just to kind of build on what Ken was saying, you know, I know it's a little confusing. This is a two-step process, right? So you just approve the conditional use with special conditions, you know, that might not be required otherwise as part of a land development application. So now at this point, you know, you're going to want to, you know, if you want the professionals to present or the applicant to present any additional details they can, or if you're comfortable with the information, you could certainly make a recommendation for approval.
Are you staying out of this? Abstaining?
I'm going to stay out of this one too. Why not?
I have no. I've read it.
Can I just interject? Has Township Engineer submitted a letter with a recommendation?
Our most recent letter was dated August 4th, and that was for a second submission that outlined comments regarding conditional use and the plan itself. Is this agenda item for an approval of the plan?
Yes, preliminary final.
You don't have this either?
Yeah, no. I just get it.
Okay.
What's that?
As far as a preliminary final approval plan.
Okay.
If the board's comfortable with that, then I would recommend if it would be conditioned upon LTL's August 4th letter, and then we could proceed forward meeting those conditions of the letter that was prepared.
Okay.
Comfortable with that.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, I think it's also subject to the waivers that we reviewed the last time, but I think the board approved as well. So, yeah, we have no problem with that condition.
Okay. Any comments from the public? What was that? LTL? That was
August 4th.
Number 3.
It's number 3 on there. Yeah.
All right. I'll make a motion to approve the preliminary final land development plan for the Three Dog Night Garage located at 3029/3045 Big Road, subjected to the following conditions. Do I have a second?
Do we want to read the conditions or not?
Yeah, probably.
I think it's a good idea.
Okay. Compliant with the conditions and the conditional use decision and order approved by the Board of Supervisors. Granting of the waivers requested in the letter dated August 10th, 2023. Compliant with the recommendations of LTL review letter dated August 4th, 2023. Compliant with the recommendations of the, how do you say his name?
Thurkoff.
Design and planning letter dated May 11th, 2023. Compliant with the recommendations of the IES engineer's review letter dated June 16th, 2023. And applicant obtain all federal, all state and federal approvals as required for this project. Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. You're up. All right. New business. Resolution 2023.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Appreciate
it. Good luck.
Okay. All right. New business. Resolution 2023-07, authorization to dispose of documents.
So on September 30th, in the morning, we will be doing a shred event as part of Community Day, as Desra mentioned. So if anyone has documents to shred, you'll be able to do that for free in the morning. And part of that process is we go through old files and we pull out files that we no longer are required to retain, and we take them over and we have them shredded. In this resolution, we have a table that lists various categories of documents that's issued by the state, and then in the far right side it discusses the required period of retention, many of which is 7 years, some are five, some are four, some are 1 year. So just a real quick summary of documents proposed to be shredded: journal entries from 2015, accounts payable and paid invoices from 2000 and 2015, an annual audit from 2002, bank statements and CD statements from 2000 and 2015, water sewer deposits and Edmunds reports from 2015, payroll earnings and deduction registers from 2015, quarterly returns withholding federal income tax from 2015, quarterly statements of local, state and local 2015, time cards and attendance from 2002 and 2015, franchise, real estate transfer, per capita, and EIT, LST tax records from 2015, collection details regarding per capita from 2015, real estate transfer records from 2015, tax receipts per capita real estate from 2015, tax collectors monthly reports from 2015, and the tax collectors returns from 2004 and 2005. Typically, so you've heard a few scatterings of 2002. Those were just old documents that we came across that just sort of missed shredding in the past. The rest of those documents are from 2015, and a lot of them we only had to hold for 3 or 4 years, but we sort of just take the approach that we'll just hold everything for 7 years because that's the longest limit we're required to keep anything, and then at that point we'll shred it. So nothing sooner, nothing more recent than 2015 is being proposed for shredding.
Is a lot of this stuff electronically backed up?
Some of it is, but a lot of it's not. So especially, what's the one I was looking at? Like water sewer stuff. Although,
you can get it.
We might be able to get most of it electronically if we really had
to. If ever needed, though, it's there.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions?
No.
Comments from the public? Okay. All right, then I will make a motion to approve Resolution 2023-07 to authorize the shredding of the documents listed. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Minimum municipal obligation for township pension plan.
So this is a required process that we have to do every September. The township has a pension plan for its employees, and we have to do calculations, a calculation worksheet, estimating what we think the upcoming year's salaries will be. And in this worksheet, we estimated a 3% increase. It's possible that could be more. It's just sort of a base estimate. And so in this case, for 2024, we estimate $33,572 will be put into the pension plan for the employees.
Okay. Any questions or comments?
Nope.
Okay. Any public comments? Okay. All right, then I will make a motion to adopt the minimum municipal obligation worksheet as presented, designating $33,572 as the minimum municipal obligation for 2024. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Yeah.
Aye. Okay. Appointment to Agricultural Advisory Committee.
Okay, so at your meeting last week, I alerted you that we do have an application for a agricultural security area for a 10-acre property on Faust Road. So we have to activate our Agricultural Advisory Committee. So part of that is that a supervisor, one of the three of you, is required to be on that committee. So I would like the committee to meet September 28th. I believe is what we're shooting for at 5 o'clock, but we need one of you to be appointed to the committee. So if you can make September 28th at 5 o'clock, then that's the first requirement for being on there.
I don't know. I'm a little jammed up. Do you have availability? Right.
Okay.
Sure you can.
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Yes, I can.
Awesome.
I can.
All right. Then I will make a motion to appoint Ron DeFrancesco to the Agricultural Advisory Committee. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Thanks, Trace.
Okay. Resolution 2023-08. 2023 budget amendments.
So this was mentioned last week, just as a heads up. We just need to do some cleanup in the 2023 budget. In particular is the transfer to capital reserve. This was equipment that was budgeted to go over to our capital reserve to cover the road mower that we purchased at the beginning of the year, and then we have one more piece of equipment scheduled to be delivered later this year. Steve, I think, what, October?
Hopefully the end of October.
Okay. All right. And that's a piece of equipment that you guys had to authorize actually last fall, just because the lead time for this equipment is more than a year out. So
we're getting shorter, finally.
Yeah. So this is really just to kind of shift things where they need to be. We also are adding in here Parks Capital Purchase. That's a debit of $100,000 and a credit of $100,000. So this is to reflect the grant that we received earlier this year from the state, and for $100,000 for playground equipment. So the playground equipment has been ordered. So we wanted to get that in the budget. Capital for 3211 Big Road. This is for surveying of the property and kind of moving forward with plans for upgrading the house at the entrance to the property. Our legal line item is being adjusted upward $10,000, and we're using $10,000 from our fund balance to cover that. We had to send our attorney to court many times this year for a couple items, and so that was just more than we had budgeted originally. We also have $13,218.95 for capital purchase for a trailer. And then the EV charger is in here being off-balanced or offset by $9,000 of grants. The EV charger was $12,433, and so the difference will come from fund balance. So those are the amendments for the general fund. And then for Ivy Ridge, we are proposing $42,000 from general fund to cover the recent emergency repair that we had to do.
Okay, which will be repaid to back.
Yeah,
to
which
fund.
We will have to set up a repayment plan from Ivy Ridge to the general fund. Correct. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions or comments?
I'm good.
Okay. Public comments? I'll make a motion to adopt resolution 2023-08, 2023 budget amendments as outlined. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Long-term needs for 2024 budget and beyond.
So this is the time when we are preparing to get going with budgeting for 2024. And if there are any particular sort of big ticket items that that we should be aware of as we start this budgeting process, this is sort of the time where we ask you or ask the audience if there's any, you know, big things that the township needs. So that's kind of what that item is.
Okay. All right.
And this is not just like a one-time chance. Like,
right.
This is sort of to just say, let's start thinking about things. Mm-hmm. If you have any thoughts tonight, we'd love to start making a list. But you can also just kind of, as things pop into your head, you can send them over. And we'll just collect them for discussions in the future.
And we already have a big list.
Yeah.
All right. So, just remember that. There's a big list
There's
already
big
started.
List. All Good. Right, fine.
Okay. All right. I don't have anything to talk about on this right now.
Any residents? Any comment?
Any comments?
From residents.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
See what kind of list we have. Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Number six, we got Perkiomen Crossing Water Upgrade Project.
So this has to do with... it started with the hydrant study that we had done and the proposal from that study to upgrade the water main through the development to increase the flow to the hydrants. It will require a second tank at the bottom and also upgrades to a significant amount of the equipment inside. The estimate for the project is about $1.5 million, which we have discussed. Back in May, I talked to the HOA, just to discuss the project, but also to discuss the possibility of getting an expanded footprint for our water and sewer plant, because to be able to do this project, we would need more area to accommodate that tank in particular. They seem to be relatively open to the idea. They wanted to know what the rate increase might look like with something like this. That's one thing that we would have to circle back to them. Financially, we did, the treasurer and I did prepare a couple scenarios in your booklet. One scenario for the water budget is looking at a monthly increase of $4 per month of a flat fee and a $1 increase in consumption. So, in other words, right now people pay a flat fee of $14 per month, and then they pay $6.25 per 1,000 gallons, right? So this scenario would be sort of a blending of those. It would be $4 added to the $14 per month plus $1 added to the $6.25 for consumption. for us to borrow the $1.5 million from PennVest, once it's fully kind of in place, the way that PennVest works, they give us a discounted interest rate the first year or two, which is like 1.5%, and then it jumps up to like 2 or 2.5, depending on, you know, rates. So once it jumps up, the annual cost to the community would be $95,382, assuming we didn't get any grants and we financed the whole thing. So based on that, and with that increase of $4 a month plus the $1 for rates, we would be coming up slightly negative per year, roughly between $15,000 and $28,000 a year over the next few years. But we have nearly, I think, over $550,000 in fund balance, which is not allocated to anything. So that could help offset that cost. We also did a scenario where we increased the monthly rate, flat rate, $8, and increased the consumption rate by 2, and that put the scenario in a pretty positive situation, but we're not sure that you would really need to go that far. We think that, you know, there's a lot of different moving parts, but we think we could probably do the project closer to the lower proposed rate increase. Just because currently we tend to have a bit of a surplus each year in water, which we've been able to, you know, accumulate and invest. So we do have a nice reserve there for Perkiomen Crossing water. But we're currently making, you know, 4 to 5% return on that money that we have in the account there. So it would still make a lot of sense to borrow the full 1.5 from PennVest
at a lower interest rate.
At the lower interest rate, and then use our reserves to help offset the repayment of it over time. So, you know, if that's something you would like us to pursue more, we can. We can start crunching those numbers. You know, if that $4 and $1 increase in consumption is kind of an amount that you think could work, I guess I would say, with the residents, you know, and if we can show you how we can make that work financially moving forward with this project, then we can certainly go further along with that scenario.
What's the terms for the pen?
20-year payback. So that's the financial aspect of it. Last week, I mentioned that a local share grant program opened back up at the state recently, and that's actually the grant program that we got the playground grant from and the grant for the building at the entrance for. So the water project qualifies for that funding, so we could definitely apply for that grant funding to a certain degree, but I would need some guidance from you guys as to, you know, how much of the total project you think we should apply for. I think if we apply for a reasonable amount, I think it helps our odds of getting it. If we go in and we say we want to hold 1.5 million, they're going to be like, yeah, no. So, you know, if you want to move forward with this, I would say, you know, that would be something that we want to hurry up and jump on, getting that application in. It is due in November, so it's a short window that's open. In order to move forward to apply for the PennVest funds, we have to commit to the project and get the design of it complete before we can apply to PennVest for the funds. So during that time, there's a possibility that the rates could adjust up a little bit. So that's that. With regard to design proposals, we did get the Spot Stevens McCoy proposal for $138,000. The other company that I thought was going to give us a proposal chose not to. So at this point, I just have the one. I don't know, Norm, if you have other companies that you might recommend. We could reach out to them. I suspect with a $1.5 million project, the engineering's probably going to be in that ballpark, though.
Yeah,
you think?
I mean, 10%
that seems
about consistent with where you would expect it to be.
Yeah.
Generally, smaller projects, a little bit higher percentage because there's still some work that needs to be done. The larger the project, usually the lower the percentage can be. It winds up being a little bit more efficient from a design standpoint.
So I guess, you know, from my standpoint, there's kind of three things that I'd be looking for from you guys here in the near future. You know, is the board interested in moving forward with this project, first of all? And if so, do you want to move forward with Spot Stevens and McCoy, who's given us a proposal? Or do you want me to go out and look for more proposals? Secondly, you know, should we schedule a special meeting to dig into these numbers a little bit more so that we can kind of really get a good idea of how they play out more long term? We did kind of a short term view, but we could certainly extend that out. And then do you want me to start the application process for the LSA grant? And then how much should we apply for that? So those are sort of the three key things that I'm going to need some guidance from you guys on to decide if we're moving forward or if we're not moving forward. It's kind of where we're at.
Okay.
The grant, is it a matching grant or it's just a straight grant?
I don't think technically it's a matching grant, but I think you score better if you're providing a chunk of the project.
What do you think would be a good number to go for?
So, you know, when I thought about this, for some reason I thought 300,000.
So did I.
Did you?
Yeah. Right. Well, I'm like cover engineering and a little bit towards the project. Mm-hmm. That's what I came up with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we can move forward. If you decide you want to move forward with it, we can certainly start moving, you know, get SSM. If you want to move with them, we can, you know, get that scheduled. You know, you can make that motion maybe at the next meeting and we can get them going on it because we have plenty of, you know, reserve/fund balance in the water
funds
to be able to take care of that. So that's something that we can do.
I mean, I'm all for moving ahead with the project. I think it's a benefit to everyone that lives there.
I think Norm has something.
One thing you might be able to do, and I found this helpful for certain grants, is there's grant coordinators that you can call and talk to them about the process and stuff, and you can ask them a couple of kind of softball questions. Generally speaking, from a grading standpoint, where do we want to fall? And I found that to be the case for dirt, gravel, that kind of thing. We can find what percentage, you know, you can expect. How much skin in the game does the township need to have? And if for some reason you find that number, let's say, is 30%, then all of a sudden you can go after 450,000 or something like that. Yeah. So if you ask those kind of questions, you can kind of find out. Because, sure, you could go 100%, and like you said, they'll still go through the process, but by the time you get done with the grading sheet, you're at the bottom of the pot.
Right.
So you want to find that sweet spot. If you're going to go through with the project anyway, as much as you can get, and still score high enough to get the grant. And it's definitely not a black and white kind of thing, but if you contact, like I said, the grant.
Yeah, well, and I can contact the person who I was communicating with on the two grants that we got, because he was very helpful. I mean, you're right. I mean, you know, he offered suggestions and that sort of thing. So I would certainly reach out to him again. The other thing I should mention, as part of PennVest, they also have grants available, but you don't apply for them. What they do is you apply for funding from PennVest, and then they internally do a calculation as to how much cost burden this project is on the users, you know, the people who are going to pay at the end. And if they determine that the cost burden is on the higher side, they can sometimes tap into their grant funds and apply them to your project. But you don't know that until later. So just kind of have to assume you're not getting them, and then if you get them, then that's great, sort of thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Also, I don't know if there's any benefit with, we had Beth Ann visit us. from Penny Cook's office last week?
So she and I had talked about the LSA grants, and so far, and I had reached out to Senator Pennychuk's office long ago asking for any grant funding, and that's really the only program that's popped up, and at that time it wasn't open. So it literally just opened up last week.
Okay.
So yeah.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I think we've come up with a good plan to cover most of the cost for this, mm-hmm. right? And
yeah,
the lower
I mean,
interest rates.
Right, the interest rates are great. You know, I know it's a huge project for the development, but I think there's a lot of factors that really make sense beyond just the hydrants, right? Increased hydrant flow, we all agree that's a great thing, but, you know, having a second water tank down there in the water treatment plant. So if, because our current water tank is fairly old,
oh, yeah.
right? And so if we have two, then that just gives us a little more, you know, comfort if there's an issue with one. A new water main, that would be great. Again, you know, the water main in there is, like 30 years old, maybe more. So so there's a lot of upgrades
more.
That are getting more. Okay.
They were put it in 89 or 90
okay.
when they went in.
So, you know, the development is, you know, the infrastructure in that development is reaching that point where, you know, it needs to be upgraded, right? And so... Yeah, we can take advantage of the hydrant issue and try to, you know, take care of as much of this as we can to really make an investment in the community so that we're not, you know, having an Ivy Ridge situation where, you know, we're having to call in a contractor and we're at their mercy, you know, to fix a problem. You know, if we can get a schedule and get on top of these things, then I think it's a great investment for the community.
Okay. So what are our next steps here?
Well, I mean, if you want to make a motion to engage Spotsteins and McCoy to start the design, we can get that going because we can't apply for the funding until that gets started. I would suggest we maybe schedule a meeting in the near future to look at these numbers more so that we can figure out kind of what the rate increase is going to need to be so that I can go talk to the HOA and we can sort of just start preparing people that there's, you know, there have been no increases to water or sewer in the development for more than 10 years.
Yeah.
So, and we're going to talk about sewer in a minute, mm-hmm. and that's in bad shape from
okay.
a financial standpoint.
Yes.
But,
okay.
Yeah. So right. I guess at this point, if you want to authorize Spotsteins and McCoy to start the design process and then authorize me to start the grant process with the LSA, I think those are two key items.
All right. Any thoughts?
I think you need to take the first step and make a motion for this SSM, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously... the LSA grant.
Okay.
I'm new to this, but I'm just wondering why there's so many problems down the Perkin Crossing. How come this wasn't looked at from previous people?
Well, it's not that there are problems at this point with the water system. Well, I will say that we did have to replace a couple pumps recently.
Yeah.
But, you know, to Ron's point, some of this infrastructure is, you know, 30 years old, maybe 40. It's older.
And when it was put in, it was put into, you know, to spec.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was, you know, that community called for 500 gallons a minute, NFPA. We're changing it to 1,000, which is great with the new fire load in everybody's houses, you know, with no natural materials and so many plastics. And, you know, it's a great upgrade.
I'm
not challenging the question.
No, right,
you know,
but
this needs to be done. I'm just, you know, I don't know. Preventative maintenance should be maybe put on a schedule of some sort.
Well, I do
oversight
think
every 5 years or.
Yeah,
whatever,
I do. Right, and I do think that we need to develop a long term
plan.
So
you
right,
you don't
absolutely.
Go
so that we know
over many years and you have a failure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but overall, I mean, the water system has been pretty darn good, which is why we have the reserve in water that we have. It's just recently that we've had to invest some pretty substantial amounts of money into it.
You're looking at a 33-year-old system.
Yeah. It's a stressed system in terms of having to get the water from the water plant 100 feet up to the top of the development.
Why they allowed them to put the water plant at the bottom of the development makes absolutely
no
sense.
Yeah, before our time.
So, but overall, the water system has been fine. I think you guys have had more issues with the sewer system than the water. And I think what we're trying to do is take advantage of, the interest in upgrading the hydrants by upgrading elements of the water plant that maybe we could get a few more years out of, but if we can combine the projects, it's going to be much more efficient for the residents.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Any comments on these motions before we make them from the public? Okay. All right. Then I will make a motion to authorize Spot Stevens McCoy to start the design process. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Then I will authorize Township Manager to start the grant process for the LSA grant. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Okay.
Yes, hold on.
Just one more quick comment. The advantage also from a design standpoint to move forward with SSM is that it often is very helpful from a grant standpoint if you can submit a set of plans with it. They know you're serious about it because they don't want to go through the process of awarding money to, well, let's just see what happens and we'll go from there.
They won't even let us submit the application until we have the plans.
Okay. And some are like that. Some, right. From a grant standpoint, you can do more of a paper sketch, if you will.
Right.
But if you've got a real set of plans and you've got feedback like that, where we've actually submitted a set of plans where the township said, we're committed, we're into this, but let's see how much support we can get from a grant standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, just my 2 cents on stuff that we've done before that's been helpful.
Okay. All right. Pergola Crossing sewer rate increase discussion.
All right, so this one's not as rosy. As you guys know, we went into this year knowing that the sewer plant was basically running in the negative and that we were tapping into its reserves to cover those costs. So now we are at a point where we've essentially kind of exhausted those reserves. And we are going to have to transfer some funds from water to cover sewer. Okay. I gave you some scenarios of what that would look like with different rate increases for the residents, because it's got to be, the rates have to go up. We don't have a choice at this point. And so, again, like we said, the rates have not gone up in more than 10 years. And the sewer plant has had a lot more expenditures, and we have a significant debt of $80,000 a year that's going to continue for 5 more years. Okay, so here we've got some scenarios in your packet, kind of showing in the black boxes, with different rate increases, how much we're going to have to take from the water reserves to cover sewer for the foreseeable, for the next 5 years, basically, till that large debt is paid off. With an increase of $4 a month, it looks like we would have to basically transfer from water $317,000 over the course of 5 years. If we increase the rates $8 a month, that amount that we transfer from water would be $238,000 over 5 years. And it would basically kind of to not have to borrow money from water or transfer money from water, the rates would have to go up $21 a month, which is clearly not something that is doable. So I think the point there is we have to take some money from water reserves, but it's got to be a combination with some sort of rate increase. So at this point, what I would recommend to you is kind of mull over those numbers and think about these different rate increase scenarios. And we just did a $4 a month, $8 a month, and $21 a month. It can be something in between if you think, you know, that's more palatable. I don't think we can go below four. And honestly, I think it needs to be closer to the eight. So I understand this is a lot to swallow, but it's something that we have to face just because we...
On top of that, we're going to do a water increase with the project. So.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
So if you want to mull that over at this point and we can discuss it more at the next meeting, we can do that.
Okay. I know this plan's over for 5 years, but what happens if you extend it for maybe five? Like, what's the longer term look ahead?
Yeah, so we can, I think that's a good question, and we can do that. Because for sewer, after 5 years, it gets good. It's fine. But if we've borrowed $200,000 to $300,000 from water, we then have to
pay that back.
We're going to want to pay that back, right? And the other thing that we need to think about, to Tom's point of, you know, planning for future upgrades, we know that we're going to have to do some major investments continually. That's just how these plants work. So we want to make sure that we're building the reserves we need for those future projects.
Yep. Right.
So, Sean, we can definitely, when we meet next, extend those numbers out so that you can start to see how that looks.
Something else to think about, like just based on, you know, we haven't increased the rates. The rates haven't gone up in 10 years.
Right.
Right. So with this plan, I don't know if you can incorporate maybe starting with a lower rate and having the rates go up over time.
So we can, but then that just means you're depleting your reserves faster for those first 5 years.
Yeah.
And
I'm just throwing ideas out there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because it's got, at the end of the day, it's got to be some sort of compromise option, right? I mean, we know there's got to be some amount of increase. We want to minimize it as much as we can, but we don't want to be in a bind with our plants either. Right. So we'll extend out those projections and we'll just kind of talk about it at the next meeting and go from there.
Perfect.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Cyber insurance quote.
So it was pointed out that we do not have much cyber insurance at the township, and our IT company recommended that we should have $1 million of coverage should something happen. Our broker, our insurance broker, got us a cost proposal for a year of that, and it's $2,846.
Okay.
So I'd recommend that we go with that.
Okay.
Do you want to explain a little bit more about the cyber liability?
So basically, people may have heard about municipalities who have been hacked and they've taken over their files and everything like that. And it's tended to cost municipalities a significant amount of money to recover from that. And so the idea is that this would, you know, insure us should that happen. All of our staff did have to do cybersecurity training, like to kind of, you know, learn what we should and shouldn't be doing with
should
our
be
files.
Opening up and
So we had to do that before anyone would even give us a quote. So we did that internally, and so this was the quote that we got.
Okay. And this is, you know, getting these quotes. I mean, it's under. Someone that see it, only you get three.
No, so we go through a broker. So okay. They go out and they try to find us the best price for our insurances. Okay. So we just work with them.
All right. Questions, comments?
Where do we stand on that new website and the IT company there?
Yeah, so I had mentioned earlier under my report that the IT company that's been helping us, they got a little sidetracked, so I'm trying to get them back to finish their parts so that I can get that to you guys. So I'm hoping in the next week or two, he keeps apologizing, but he's not getting it done. So,
does the state offer anything since that's a state-run website that...
PSATs, they might be able to help us if he doesn't get back on it. I can check with them and see.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Any comments from the public on this? Okay. All right, then I will make a motion to purchase cyber liability insurance for the amount of $2,846 for the next 12 months. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Okay. Upcoming meetings. Parks Board meeting is September 19th at 6 p.m.
Oh, actually, that's 7 p.m.
Oh.
I apologize.
Parks Board meeting, September 19th at 7 p.m. Planning Commission meeting is September 28th at 7 p.m. Board of Supervisors meeting is Board of Supervisors workshop meeting is October 5th at 7 p.m. Announcements. Movie on the Mountain, Luca at Spring Mountain is September 16th and opens at 6:30 p.m. Community Day, September 30th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Okay. All right, and then
can I just bring up one thing? Comcast franchise renewal. I saw that came through more or less in the final version. Mm-hmm. The last edits from Comcast were very minor, and I didn't have any problem with them.
Okay.
The current agreement expires on November 30, so you have a meeting on October, and you would have a meeting in November. That would be before the expiration. You have to hold a public hearing.
Okay.
I suppose to be cost conscious, we could do the public notice for the public hearing and include language that says, you know, immediately after the public hearing, at the board's regular meeting, they will consider for enactment, you know, that ordinance, or in this case, it would be consider authorizing the chairman to sign the agreement.
Okay.
Then you wouldn't have to have a public hearing one day and then advertise the ordinance. You actually have to pass an ordinance too. But I think you could roll them into one is
okay.
I guess the point I'm making. So would you like to try to do that at your October meeting, which would give you a month to fall back? Oh, to me, that would make the most sense.
Yeah.
So if you, with your permission, I will work with Tracy to get an advertisement together so that at the October meeting, we'll probably begin with a public hearing on Comcast, and then on the regular agenda would be the authorization to enter into the agreement.
Okay.
Perfect.
Good.
Okay.
All right. Personnel matter. We want to have an executive session for personnel matter?
Yes, if you're intending to have an executive session, announcing it now is sufficient. Would that be immediately following this meeting?
Yes.
Would there be any expectation that you'll come back and do any business with regard to that matter?
No.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay, so then you can adjourn this meeting, and after everyone leaves, we can hold an executive session for personnel matter.
Okay, then I will make a motion to end a regular monthly meeting and move to executive session for personnel matter. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. All right.